Persia and Media, the nobles and the princes at the king's party. And this party lasts 187 days. Yeah, he could party. With some princes showing off their wives, then Queen Vashti gets banished and dethroned because she would not display herself. So the king, later on, after Vashti's gone, he gets lonely, and his servants get this great idea to make him happy, to have a Persian beauty pageant with young virgins, these young women, and out of these, Esther, there's our star, whose real name is Hadassah. Everybody say Hadassah. Hadassah. All right. Is the standout and becomes the new queen. But they didn't know that her heritage was Jewish. Well, her uncle Mordecai agitates this mean man named Haman. So usually, Jewish people, if that name is even said, they boo. So let's try that. Haman. Boo. From that moment on, Haman wants to kill Mordecai and annihilate all the Jews. He wants to kill them all. Sound familiar? Fast forward to Hitler. And Haman manipulates the king and signs a decree. A Persian decree is law, and it cannot be changed. Mordecai pretty much loses his mind, and he's in complete mourning, so much that the news travels back to Esther. So here we are, the written decree and the call to action. Esther 4, 8 through 10. So you can start there. Here we go. He also gave him a copy of a written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go to the king and make supplications to him and plead before him for her people. So Hatak returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Hatak and gave him a command for Mordecai. We see Mordecai's request and the call to action, right? So here's my question for you today. You know, Pastor Paul always says, take notes. But who is your Mordecai? Who has called you for help? If you are taking notes, I want you to write that person's name down right now, or if it's persons, multiple. So let's look at the call is sent out. After giving a copy of the decree to Esther through a courier, Mordecai challenged her to intercede on behalf of her people before the king. So write down this word, intercede. Someone is going to need or ask you to intercede, to step in, to help. Do you know there is a need to help with home visits? Our chaplains go out to do home visits. How about missions? This weekend, these beautiful people went out to Mexico. If you were there in Mexico, can you stand up if you were there? Give these people a round of applause. They are the hands and the feet of our Lord Jesus. And what about prayer? How easy is it to come into church? There's air conditioning. Sit here in morning prayer or drive-up prayer. Someone's pulling up because they need you to intercede. So let's go to Esther 4, verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king has not been called. He has but one law, all to be put to death. Wow. Except the one whom the king holds out his golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. She was isolated. That must have been pretty scary because she knew that if she made this attempt, she could die. Esther explained the difficulty behind this. She was only allowed to come to the king when called. She could be executed for daring to approach the king without an invitation. She was isolated. Some of you feel isolated. Maybe you're online and you're watching, thinking, how can I help? I'm stuck here at home. I'm too old. I'm too young. How about, I don't have a degree. Or my favorite, I don't have a car, right? Let's think about our reaction. What would we do, right? How about when we're asked to do something, we start to squirm and complain and think of excuses to get out of the situation because we are comfortable and we don't want to rock the boat. Let's go back to that thought of God behind the scene. And let me share a little story with you. So I work for American Veterans Assistance Group. And it's a Christian organization that helps veterans. I was working with an outreach organization to bring food to two communities in Orange. One community had seniors and veterans, and the other was filled with families with multiple generations in the household. I was interceding for them, but the coordinator, Denise, said to me, "I'm sorry, Doreen, you can only help one. I need to choose." And I thought, God, how can I pick just one? That really bothered me. They both need help. I prayed on it. And the next day, Denise called me and said, God spoke to her in a dream that she needs to help me. By interceding in prayer for God's people, they're not my people, they're his people, we see God behind the scenes. And we ended up helping six communities. Now, can God multiply when we're obedient? Okay. Is God calling you to do something? I love Mordecai's words here. Let's look at Esther 4, 13 and 14. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" These words, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape." Those really stood out. Most people think of that last verse, "such a time as this." But really, do not think in your heart that you will escape. Everyone will come to the Lord one day. What will he say to you? What I want him to say to you is, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. Yes. Mordecai trusted God even when he didn't see him. Mordecai reminded Esther that she could not remain isolated from this decree any more than anyone else. If you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. Mordecai's trust was in the faithfulness of God, not in the faithfulness of Esther. He knows that God will not let his people down, even if an individual lets him down. I knew that too, and God made it happen. Look at those six communities. So let's talk about the fear of stepping into God's purpose. "But you and your father's house will perish." Man, if I heard that, I'd really be scared. Mordecai reminded Esther that her own fate depended on her own faithfulness to God. and that the fate of God's people rested in God and not in her. Let's go back to that question that I asked you to write down. Who are you interceding for? Who needs to be saved? Who needs to know that they are loved? How about who knows that they're not forgotten? What should we start doing? Well, Mordecai's famous words, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Do you? So if I ask you that question, do you realize you're here for a reason? It's not a coincidence that you're online watching. It's not a coincidence that you're serving as a chaplain. It's not a coincidence that you went to Mexico. It's not a coincidence that your mom was baptized because you brought her to the church. It's not a coincidence that you're sitting in here today. Mordecai knew that God had promoted this orphan in exile for a reason, and Esther must have the courage and wisdom to see and fulfill it. This principle applies to us also. So tap yourself on the shoulder and say, "This is for me." Come on, go ahead. "This is for me." Pay attention, don't fall asleep. All right. This principle applies to us also. God promotes us in a place for a reason, and we need the courage and the wisdom to see that wisdom and walk in it. Well, there's always those good excuses, right? You know, Melissa and David always joke around with me because I always say, "I got an idea." But I know it's really not my idea. It's his idea, and he wants me to execute it. So let's talk about giving excuses. Let's go to the New Testament, Luke 14, verses 16 to 24. You know, even people gave excuses in the Bible. So let's start there. "Then he said to him, 'A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and set his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they all in one accord began making excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. I ask to have me excused.'" Well, that's probably not a smart move, as Jimmy shared with me, when you buy a piece of property and you don't look at it first, right? And another said, "I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." When I read this to Amanda, my assistant, she goes, "Why wouldn't they test them beforehand?" Good question, right? Still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Well, this guy has more problems than we need to talk about right now. So that servant came back and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind." Some of you were poor in spirit, in finances, in hope, maimed and lamed and couldn't walk anymore, blind physically and spiritually, and so, so very tired. But when you found Jesus Christ, he awoke in you. He gave you that strength. He helped you walk. He helped you see. And the servant said, "Master, it is done as you commanded, and there's still room." People, there is still room for the loss. Look at these empty chairs in the church, and if there's one in front of you, tap it and say, "Someone will sit there soon." Then the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways I love this, the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Did you hear that? Compel them. It's urgent. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Whoa, yeah, that's heavy, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, everyone, but I want to be at the supper, and I'm going to ask you a question. Do you? There's a couple. Do you?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
There we go. And I hope you're online yelling, I do too. That's going to be an incredible supper. You know, I received a call from a veteran asking me to do his funeral when he passes away. I asked him about his faith, and he shared with me that he was part of a revival in the 60s when he was a young adult. And he goes, but I'm a backslider now. And I said, okay, let's talk when we meet in person. So then again, we meet up, and he's there, and he comes to me, and he goes, so let's talk about my funeral. And I said to him, when I do your funeral, what am I going to say? You're going to heaven or you're going to hell? And he looked at me like with his mouth open, because he knew he was a prodigal. He knew he followed Jesus. He knew he had a calling on his life. And I said to him, it is time to make a choice. Yes. Prodigal son, come home. God loves you and forgives you. It's as simple as that. Remember, there is still room, and we have to compel people. So let's look at conquering fear. You know, I could have been afraid to say something. You know, I might insult him. He might call AVAG and say, hey, your chaplain's a little rough, you know. Well, how to conquer fear? There's only one way, and that's with God's word. So I have two scriptures for you. Matthew 10:28 says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This life is a dress rehearsal. We need to be making plans for eternity.
Yes.
You know, I heard when we were at an event last night that they had a shooting here in Huntington Beach. Who would have thought in a moment that someone's life would be gone? We need to intercede. We need to have that call to action, that emergency. We call the police and the fire and the paramedics when it's emergency. Why are they not calling the Christians? So if you don't help, someone else will. Think about all the people they brought to the banquet. Ordinary people, broken people. They must have been a rough-looking crowd. Sounds like us before we found Jesus, right? I'd like you to stand, if you believe that, that you were one of those people that Jesus called you. Oh, yes, amen. Oh, look around, everyone. They called. Yes, I hear her. She says, everyone's standing. Praise the Lord, right?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. If someone asks you to serve, there is a reason and an opportunity for you. It might mean you have to grow. That means stretch, grow. Zach said, press in. Press in. God has you there for a reason. If someone asks you to join serving God's people, do it. Because if you don't, someone else will. Don't miss your opportunity. Yours. Someone here this morning is maybe watching online or sitting in here, and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you personally. I pray the Lord makes these words clear to start you on your true life's work. Even I had to start on my true life's work. I used to make a lot of excuses. I said, I'm too old. That was number one. Not smart enough. Number two, I don't know enough. And the classic, I'm too busy. Yeah. Well, but when I submitted myself to him, he used me in a mighty way. How many of you have been wishing for another position where you could do something for Jesus? Stop wishing. You know, I looked in the audience and I see Howard Koch, World War II veteran, 97 years old. And he got baptized. I baptized him at 95 years old. It's never too late. But better yet, he's been discipled. And Michael, who's here today, accepted the Lord in his heart and stood up for God. He brought someone new to the banquet. Amen? All right. You guys can go ahead and sit down. Thank you. In closing, what's interesting is, in this, is you see Christ in Esther. You know, that is always mind-boggling. I'm a puzzle piecer, so when I read scriptures, I go, ooh, bring this puzzle over here, this puzzle over here. But what's interesting is you see Christ in Esther. Esther was an advocate for her people, willing to die for them. Jesus was an advocate for us, willing to die for you and for me. So let's have a call to action. Be a bold witness for Christ. But that doesn't mean be weird, okay? So that's my disclaimer. Now, I'm going to call up our chaplains. I'm going to bring up our chaplains that I get to serve with. Each one of them answered the call for Christ. They have a selected special scripture for you today. Each one of these associate chaplains want to pray for you. So even if you are online, send in your prayer request and let them know if this scripture has touched your heart.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.